What's good, everybody? This is Ray Danes, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And if you were wondering who this beautiful woman sitting next to me is my sister, Tiffany Daniel Tsai. Let's give it up for my sister. Everybody can clap. This is good. And my sister she's the most talented person in the family. And we started a family business, a signature scent company. So if you like smoke a lot of weed in your car and you want to get the scent out, you have to check out these scents. I know guys that use it for the weed. I know people that use it for cologne and everywhere they go to get compliments. We make candles. We make
room sprays. We got them in kits. So if you want to buy something for your loved one or anybody, you know, that you care about, hit us up, LorayandCo.com.
And we're going to put the website at the bottom of it. But support this black business, support this black woman, and order, I promise you guys. And matter of fact, use the word gods, and we'll give you 15% off. I just made that up, so if my sister's face looks crazy, don't get mad at her. I'll eat that. But guys, when I tell you this shit is incredible, you really should check this out.
The best scents ever.
LorayandCo.com. And we'll put it at the bottom of the screen. Thank you.
Thanks.
Peace and love. It's Rick the Negotiator.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And welcome to the God Show. Let's go, guys. And before we get started, please, I want to shout out our sponsors, Two Loss Distribution, Tote and Carry. I was about to say Toot and Carry.
Yeah, I heard that.
Tote and Carry, Two Loss Distribution, Yoko Vodka right here, and Loreco. And if you want to advertise with us, we're open to your business. So please call us. Also, shout out to you guys for watching, like, share, subscribe. Now that that's out the way, I have a very special guest here. He's one of the goats out here on the internet who really showed us the power of using your voice and getting people together. I've been a fan of this guy, and then he followed me, and I was like, damn, he know me now. Oh, my God. Like, I want to know him. And then I did his show recently, but I couldn't wait to have a conversation with him because we need more black male voices speaking up as black males. All these other guys are real soft. We need to start bringing that real black man back. And I think that this guy's at the forefront of that movement, amongst other things. Let's give it up for my brother, 19 King.
Man, good to be here.
My brother, I ain't gonna lie, man. I was hoping you had the hat on because I want one of them. I just want one of my white neighbors to knock on the door and answer the door with that hat on. How you doing, brother?
Yes, sir.
Like, nigga, let the hat says, don't play with me, bro. Don't play with me.
Yeah, I got
you. Man, 19 Keys, bro. Like, how did you become who you are? You are a thought leader. You know, you stand on business. You know, you're a businessman. I heard that you was a dope ass rapper too, but I wanted to hear from you. I like to hear from you. But how did you end up becoming this guy that we see right here?
First of all, thanks for having me on here. I've been waiting to get on this couch, man. Y'all be dropping a lot of game, a lot of knowledge, and y'all be keeping it real. So
thank you.
You know, that's what attracted me to the platform in the first place, the authenticity.
Thank you, brother.
For me, it's been a lot of experiences throughout life that have been pivotal in my consciousness, I would say. Mm. Growing up in the streets, to growing up in the nation, right? It's been this duality that I always lived.
Yeah.
Right? I was just speaking to someone and sharing parts of my story, and it's like growing up in St. Louis, that's where I really got to understand the struggle of the everyday black man. Because I've been through all of the experiences that they've been through.
Yeah.
Right? More than they probably even know that I have.
Yeah.
Right? But then growing up in a nation is where I seen black men strive to become more. Mm. Right? And elevate themselves from niggas that go straight out of jail until they want to get some knowledge, clean themselves up, get rid of their addictions, things of that nature. And I was a child seeing black men with power in Oakland, right? So by that I mean, you know, a man would have basically a standing army of hundreds of black men at his call whenever.
Yeah.
But these is also men that stood on business,
yeah,
right? And men that had knowledge yourself.
Mm.
But there was also corruption,
yeah,
right? So I seen all sides of when something rises, an empire rise and an empire fall,
yeah,
right? And a lot of the men that was in my life at the time, I think I seen them be a shining example, and then I seen them fall all the way down. And that disappointment, I think, made me want to step in, because it became a point in time to where I had to become completely self-sufficient and become my own man.
Yeah.
You know, I got an older brother locked in prison, and he played a pivotal role when I was younger, right, in raising me. But, you know, in the nation, we have something that's called settle on the best part. Right?
Settled so, on the best part.
On the best part.
Got you.
Because he'd give me a lot of game, but all of it wasn't good. Right? He'd want me to follow different paths, but I learned to disassociate.
Yeah.
Right? What was good and what was bad.
Yeah.
And I think when I ultimately, you know, seen him go down what I consider to be the wrong path, I decided to make my own. Right? I've grown up in environments where I have court cases, where I stayed in houses where all the family members of mine is doing coke and crack, where I got to go to school the next day, to where we have no money and we got to steal or rob to do just to get through for the next day.
Got you.
We got enemies that's outside, right? There's a whole entire environment of things that's going on to, and this is just in Oakland.
Yeah.
St. Louis, if I go back there now, everybody I grew up with is dead or in jail. Everybody. So it's like there's no nostalgia for me to visit, right? When I go back there, it's like visiting a graveyard. It's just memories of what was.
Got you. So right? That's a question. So what was the, what years Oakland? Was Oakland first, then St. Louis, St. Louis, then Oakland?
I was born in St. Louis.
Okay.
Moved when it was like one.
Okay.
Okay.
And then we was raised in Oakland.
Got you.
And then every year when I was in middle school, I would go back and forth between Oakland and St. Louis.
Got you.
Because my parents had split.
So you spent your summers in St. Louis?
Yeah.
Got you. Okay, perfect.
So I would always jump back and forth from Oakland and St. Louis is bad.
Yeah.
So it wasn't, wasn't preferable one or the other.
But you said duality, and it's, when I'm listening to you, like, my perspective comes from a similar duality. It was just, I lived in the Bronx till I was 12.
Yeah.
And then I moved to Atlanta. When I was in the Bronx, it was like, nigga, you gonna, housing is our life, food stamps is our life.
Yeah.
That's our life. And you just get used to it. And when you got to Atlanta, it wasn't even promoted like that.
Right.
Like, I got cousins that are still in the same apartments that we were born in.
Mm.
Like 40 plus, 50 plus years in the same apartment. And in Atlanta, you don't live in the same apartment longer than 5 years.
Yeah.
They want you to move out. They change the neighborhood. They bring in new management. Because in Atlanta, the goal was to go up. So those dualities has always kept me humble in it, because I'm thankful that I got to see the difference is, so I can know right from wrong, and you know that it was possible. So when you said that, I just really connected with that, because I'm like, but I was gonna ask you, like, what is the difference in, because Oakland is very different from St. Louis.
Yeah, it is.
What was the difference that you saw between everything?
I think St. Louis is just wild, wild west.
Yeah.
It's ignorance, you know? It's a very, St. Louis, at the same time, it's a special place. It got some powerful people there, but the ignorance in St. Louis is at an all-time high, right? Mm. It stays on the top murder rate capital and violent cities in America for a reason, because there's no outlet, right? There's no opportunity out there for them. So, you know, somebody might pull up on you in St. Louis and try to kill you just to get some stripes. Mm. They don't know who you. They don't know who you are. You're not their enemy for real. They just pull up on a block, hop out, and start shooting.
Yeah.
Like, we experienced that a lot. My mother never knew this, though. We'd go back in the house like nothing happened that day. You feel me? But that was our neighborhood.
Yeah.
And to us, that was damn near normal.
It's programming. We see it every day. That's why I wish people understood. When you judge people, you got to understand that's normal.
Yeah.
And you can learn wrong in this world. That's
right.
It's a possibility to learn wrong. They don't acknowledge that.
Right.
I'm glad you brought that
but
up.
But when somebody's doing that to you, for you to do it to them also seems normal.
Yep.
Right? But in St. Louis, like I said, that's the ignorance. That's the street. Right? But Oakland is where you get more militant consciousness.
Yeah.
Even the brothers that's in the street is still more militant and more conscious than most people around the world. Right? Because Oakland has a special place in America. A lot of movements start in Oakland and then they travel out of.
Yes.
Right? And so I've seen nothing but activism my whole life. I've seen black men with power and money, but they are also gangsters.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like, Oakland is, like, I think the city of, like, extreme duality.
Yes. I was about to say, do you think Oakland is very militant and very, you know, different because it's like San Francisco is your twin city, and that's where all of the billionaires are and all of the Silicon Valley is. Like, I'm like, you think that play a role in it?
I think at first it plays a role in the fact that, you know, going back to the Black Panthers, you had an organization out there. It ended up getting a moniker from Your Black Muslim Bakery. It was a bakery that was established by Elijah Muhammad, ran by a man named Dr. Bay. And he was the one that had his own schools. He had his own security services. He had, you know, bakery outlets and contracts and MHF services all throughout Oakland. So when you grow up in Oakland during those times, you might see, you know, 50 brothers hop out in all black suits and 10-car motorcade riding down the street, hop out in your hood and just start drilling just to demonstrate, right? So that was a different paradigm of seeing men with money and power and influence, but then regulated their whole environment and everybody bowed down and gave respect to it, right? So like seeing that rise and seeing that fall, seeing his sons take over, seeing that rise, seeing that fall, see other men have offshoots of that, seeing that rise, seeing that fall, you learn a lot, right? So it wasn't the Black Panthers that inspired me. It was me seeing it in real time, growing up in it. You feel me? Now, when you got cities that are post-consciousness, they get the worst, right? Like you talked about it before in Atlanta, Detroit, these were hubs of consciousness. These were where the Renaissance started. Like the nation started in Detroit. But what ended up happening is if when you see those cities afterwards, it's like this huge rise. But then there's this fall afterwards, and there's this intentional psy-up that happens where it becomes reverse of what it used to represent. So you look at Oakland, we had the hyphy movement. We was going dumb, popping pills, acting stupid, literally. That was the movement, which is completely inverse from Black Panther Party, black political consciousness. Right? Look at Atlanta, civil rights. And then it turns into, crump music. You feel me? It's the complete opposite reality.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's by intention and by design. But it's also, you know, these are the children of those movements that fail.
Because I'm glad you said that, because what I've been thinking about that a lot. Like, I don't know what's going on, but my consciousness is like completely woke, and I don't know if it's because I'm getting older. I'm just kind of paying attention.
It's just expanded awareness.
But when I said, I'm like, so I look at these kids now, and I get so frustrated because I'm like, why are these young girls don't take pride in who they are? They just want to wear their ass out. Like now women are acting like men, all this other stuff. And by the way, I love women, but it's still like, damn, I used to have to work for that. Now y'all just putting it out there. And then I'm like, how do they get this way? And then you like, damn, you got to look at the parents. What did the parents do? The parents were probably, my generation was a generation that focused on wealth. We didn't focus on family. We didn't focus on structure either. It was like, we broke, we gonna get some. Our dad was on drugs, he was broke, we gonna get some money. And then we got money, and then we spoiled our kids, and now they don't understand the real world. So as like, when you when you were 18, your kids will be different than you were at 18.
Oh, for sure.
Because you had, you saw things they didn't see, but it's almost like, I don't want them to see that, but I still want them to know life's serious.
Well, your children become the best and worst parts of you. You know, so we talked about that at InvestFest. Like, before you have children, the best thing you can do is get rid of the worst parts of you. You know what I mean? And try to put as much in you that you want them to inherit. So that becomes their gifts that they get. You feel me? Like their inheritance starts in their blood. You feel me? So if your father was an addict, the best thing you can do is have self-mastery. So what you passing down is that discipline. Discipline is passed down in the blood. You're right? So a large percentage of their ability to be willful is gonna come from their DNA. Right? So who you mate with matters. But we have lost that intentional science, right? Of mating on purpose to create a better generation. That's why bloodlines keep things within the blood, because there's information and gifts within that blood. So that's respected. That's why some people consider it lower class, because let's say your bloodline got no knowledge, no skills, no talents, no gifts. How you go create a talented, skilled, gifted leader?
You're not.
Right? You started them off from zero. The thing for our generation is we're very dense. And I mean that in the sense that if you think about it, throughout time, there's never been a people who've been exposed to this much information and knowledge and experience ever. So that means that, like, you inherited a lot from your parents, right? But only so much. But only because they only was aware of so much. They only went through so much. They only knew so much. So that's all they could give you. This generation that knows everything, been through everything, experienced everything. So now what they inherit is going to be more dense than any other generation in time. That's why these children are being born with a certain level of consciousness.
All right, man. It's so deep and it's so real. And it's, and you know, I see guys like you speak, and I'm like, I'm not a guy that walks around like I know it all. I'm like, damn, that's real. And for me, I remember like trying to figure out like, like I look at my childhood and I'm like, you know, obviously my mother likes to take credit for all my success because she raised me, you know, but I always look at like what I got from my father's family, even though I knew my father was like that with me, but I didn't like his family because they were mean to him and he was the nicest man. I just didn't fuck with that. Don't be mean to my dad. My dad is so nice. So, you know, he died when I was 22. But what I always thought about, I'm like, when I was a kid, and I want parents to hear this, when I was a kid, my father's family, they were like intellects, drug addict intellects, right? Which was interesting. So like my mother family, they were just hustlers and like, it was like hustler, get money, get girls. My dad's family was like drug addicts and intellects. So when my mother Christmas come around, my uncles give me all that fun shit, clothes, everything. My father family, they only gave us puzzles. Mm. I'm like, when I'm talking about like bro, from zero to like 12 when I left New York, like if it was a 100 piece puzzle when I was five, it was 200 when I was six. And then it got to the 1500 and I would mess with them, but I was always like, so when I got in the music business, I'm like, I think that helped me because no one taught me. So what made me learn so much? It was a big puzzle.
Yeah.
What pieces go? So
I didn't. That's beautiful.
Yeah. So, but when you say the blood thing, I'm like, that's crazy. Cause I was like, man, you can give me three parts of a story and it's 10 parts. I can figure out the other seven by the three because my whole life I did puzzles.
Yes, deductive thinking, problem solving, critical thinking.
Exactly.
Like I think like that's a key part because everybody be raising children, but they don't actually know how to raise children, mm-hmm. right? And a lot of people think they qualify because they had a child. That does not make you qualified to be a good parent.
Yep.
Right? You can be a parent, but a good parent is different, and a great parent, completely different. So like, you know, people really consider Christmas to be important, and it's not. Mm. Right? People consider giving your children these gifts to be important. It's not. Those ain't the gifts you should try to give them. Mm-mm. Most, they give a child a gift but won't help them develop their gifts.
Yeah.
Right? And so the development of the gift is what they are able to use in life. That toy you gave them, that little gratefulness, man, that stuff will go and they go wait for the next toy next season. And then later on in life, as you thought you was being a good parent because you thought you was providing for the whole time, you was leaving them in a deficit of really knowing themselves.
Yes.
Because they needed to learn how to build for themselves, how to think for themselves, how to develop a skill set. Like really geniuses throughout life, you can look at their childhood.
Yeah.
I was a speaker when I was a child. Mm. Right, I would get on stages, we call them Savers Day. There was a television station called Soul Beat in Oakland, right? So every single year we would have to do a presentation, right? Sometimes it'd be on astronomy, sometimes it'd be on the social politics of the world, right? So I'm sitting there learning this and I got so good I had to remember lines of other students in case they messed up and I had to pick up. But I never thought I was a good speaker.
Yeah.
That was just me being a child getting it done. Right? And I do remember people coming up to me later and be like, man, that was incredible. So I internalized some of that.
Yeah.
But I always thought my older brother was going to be the speaker. Yeah. I thought he was going to be the one that becomes the leader.
Yeah.
So I thought that I was just going to have to follow him and help him throughout it, but he didn't want to be.
Yeah.
So when he said he didn't want to, I took on that mantle. But going back to the childhood thing, like in those young years, they're not conscious. They just take on any program you give them.
Yeah.
That's right. So when you program them to think Christmas is special and holidays are special, right? And then when you can't provide for them, then they become ungrateful, right? Then they have an expectation that's not met because you created that standard. Before that, they didn't know nothing about it. I never got a Christmas gift. And the way I was programmed, I felt sorry for other kids that celebrated because I thought they was dumb.
Wow.
It was like I used to really think that was dumb because
that's ill though. I love that.
I was like, how is they stupid? Like, how do they believe bruh is coming down their chimney? Like, I literally thought they was dumb for like thinking like this white dude is really giving them gifts. That was my mind frame as a child. Like, I almost felt sorry
How old were you when you was thinking like that?
I'm like six, seven.
You 6 years old.
Bro, I was young.
You was born to be this guy you are now. You was born to be. The fact that you was six, like, they were so soul. Dumb.
I never missed blood. It. And my grandmother is funny. Every Christmas she used to give, I don't know why she would take them Chinese New Year's.
Yeah.
Envelopes and give them to my sisters, never to the boys. She was a little sexist. I love my grandmother.
I love grandma. Let's go. I love it.
Rest in peace to Grabs. But even then, I never cared, right? But it was because I had a certain level of awareness of it. And I felt sorry for the children that didn't have that awareness.
That's so crazy. I'm going to be honest with you. When I was a kid, my feel sorry for was the followers. Like, I remember, like, I didn't get a lot of praise as a kid. You know, in the hood, they didn't praise you at all.
Yeah.
But I remember my mother and her friends, or my mother friends telling her, look at Raymond. Like, we was walking somewhere, and she was like, he's not a follower. And I remember I was like maybe 5, 6, 7, but I remember that stuck with me because that was the first compliment I got. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm never going to be a follower.
Yeah.
I'm always do so. My friend started smoking weed. I was like, why y'all smoke? Yeah. It didn't make, because Snoop says, Snoop smoking, that's why we smoking? Like, we're not smoking because we want to smoke.
Right.
And every decision I did was based on what I wanted to do. So, but it's from that childhood. And,
right.
And I wish that we focused, like, and by the way, it's parents that listen to this. If you listen to this for your own development, you should make your kids do it too.
Right.
That's what I don't get. Like, why we don't push our kids, like, I make my son come to work.
Right.
I make my son understand what I'm doing.
You gotta stop iPad parenting.
Yeah.
You know, YouTube parenting.
Yeah.
That's just giving your child away to the world.
Yeah.
And it's messing up their self-development.
Yeah.
Right? Because mentally, like, it's like they tell all these children on ADHD and they give them the medicines and things of that nature, but that messes up their development and their ability to actually focus and be relying on themselves to discipline themselves.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have a child that doesn't need to sit in the classroom. They need to explore their gifts in reality so that they can really develop. Like, these young savant children, they start very early. Right? Mm-hmm. They develop a skill where they down there become an expert as a child.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what that does is the more you learn before you 21 years old, because your brain has a pattern seeking recognition at that point in time. So that's why you can learn so fast. You just see things and you learn it. Then after that, you hit about 25, your brain switch.
Mm.
Right? So now you can't learn the same way you used to. You have to be stimulated in a different way to continue to learn.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, if you're not exposed in your early years, you don't have a foundation to pull from to learn new things.
Yeah.
That's why it's important to teach children new languages, expose them to as many talents, skills, and things of that nature. That's their foundation, so when they become an adult, they can pull from.
Push them. That's what I was saying. If your kid wants to do something, push them towards it. Make them run to 100%. The fire. Don't hold them accountable to their own words. That they, if they say, if they don't do it, then say, we never doing that again.
And it's more important now than ever because with the advent of technology constantly increasing, the importance, like, degrees don't mean nothing. You can tell me what college you went to all day. It don't matter.
Yeah.
Right? The way you think matters. Mm. Your creative thinking,
your
philosophical mind, your perspective is your value. So in the future, it's going to have all this technology that already does what the machine mind does. The machine mind is the mind that can just take instruction, right? It takes input and output, but it doesn't produce its own thought, doesn't produce its own command. That's why I'm sure there's people that work for you. You tell them to do something, they do exactly what you said, nothing more, nothing less.
Yes.
Right? So that's not a good worker. Yeah. I need somebody that understands why I'm saying it, right? And if I didn't say it, you understand to still go do it, right? Like, you, that's a thinker.
That. Bro,
let it out. I know everybody's dealing with it right now.
You know what it is? It's I was a thinker. Like, it goes back to the puzzle thing. I give you an example. My first person I've ever met in the music business was this guy named Timmy Allen.
Mm.
Timmy Allen was a producer for Josh. Shout out to Timmy. He was a very big influence in my life. Timmy knew me because my father was dating his ex-wife.
Mm.
So when my father was like, I'm gonna introduce you, Johnny May, his ex-wife, I'm gonna have her introduce you to Timmy. It was weird to me because I'm like, why would he wanna help me? And by the way, I knew at that very moment, my relationship can't be that.
Right.
So as soon as I met him, of course he kind of played me to the side, but I was like, I work for Delta, I get a buddy pass, me and him became friends since then. But I always thought like that. Like, I never walked into a room and said to myself, I got a dream.
Yeah.
So because I got a dream, y'all should make it happen for me.
Right.
And it's like, I gotta remember he got a dream too.
Right.
He got a dream. And matter of fact, you know what I have to remember? They encounter people with dreams every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I tell people, I said, if you wanna know, if you can answer this question, you have figured life out. If I can put, you can pick one person in the room that you wanna meet for 5 minutes and you wanna change your life in that 5 minute meeting, who would it be and what would you say?
Mm.
And then people go through the little, like, they should shoot it out. Elon Musk, why? What you gonna say to him? I'm gonna say this. Well, you ain't think about what he gonna say back.
Because they only really thinking about what that person can do for them.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, so it's like,
that's
and,
it.
And I tell people, I'm like,
Elon Musk don't need you.
And only that, he encounters hundreds of people every day for 5 minutes.
Right.
You don't think that, you think you're more special than them? You're not. So you gotta, so what I always say, when you figure out the answer, you figure out who you want to meet and you figure out what value you can give them immediately that doesn't cost them anything.
And the most, I learned this when I was young. And I always think, sometimes I get these things, I don't even know where they come from.
Yeah.
But I understood that my perspective was the most valuable thing. Mm. Like, my confidence first came from my perspective. I understood at an early age, you could be a billionaire, but you don't have my perspective. So if I consult you on the way that I think, that's a value to you.
Yep.
So I can walk into any room with a value just based on my perspective and my experiences. You can't think like me.
Yeah.
You can't see the things that I've seen and understand it from my perspective and my viewpoint.
Yep.
So you can't tell me that I'm not of value, of importance, because I can tell you something that can change your whole game, because you can never see it unless you get it from me.
Yeah.
So if you walk in a room and you have an authentic perspective, but that requires you to have a self-awareness. I come from Oakland and St. Louis. I'm a black Muslim, you know what I mean? Masculine man of influence and intellect, right? That moved throughout the planet Earth, gather information, data, right? I understand marketing, branding, science, psychology, right? All of these different things. I see the world from a perspective that most people would never understand.
Yeah.
I've been through it as well. So I'm not just learning. I go through my own experiences. Yeah. I'm channeling from my own childhood experiences, not somebody else's. My perspective, you would never get, not unless you pay me for it.
Exactly.
If I'm sitting next to Elon Musk, he ain't got to pay me for that perspective.
Exactly.
Yeah, that might be worth $25,000 an hour.
But you know what? You had to change your mind. Well, your mind was made up when you was 5 or 6 who you was going to be, and you just honored that.
Yes,
you,
sir.
What I'm trying to get people to understand is that you feel that way because you weren't praying, you were preparing.
That's a fact.
Some people are praying, never preparing. Opportunity come, they mess it up, and then they want another chance.
And the problem is, a lot of parents be protecting their children instead of preparing their children. Worst thing you can do is protect a boy. You got to prepare a boy. You know what I mean? You can't fight that boy bullies.
Yeah,
that's right.
You got to prepare him to go deal with the bully.
Yeah,
whether he go outsmart him, whether he go slap him up, whether he go fight him every single day, whatever it's gonna be, it's preparation.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But the moment you start protecting them, they become relying on you instead of themselves. So now they don't feel like they're prepared for the world. So now you got all of these young men who never, these young boys who never become men. It's the grown boy syndrome.
Yeah.
And it permeates all throughout reality today. Yep. They listen to you, can tell, because they listen to you, but don't take your advice.
Yeah.
Right? They live in their potential. They seek easy things.
Yes.
They seek comfort instead of challenge. They don't have emotional resilience. They don't have a full whole psychology, ability to communicate, right? Emotional regulation, problem solving, conflict resolution, critical thinking skills, ability to communicate themselves, to take an idea from fruition to execution.
Yep.
That's what you call a man.
Yes.
A man can have a thought, say be, and it is.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I said it's gonna get done, and I'm willful, and I won't allow you to disrupt my willfulness.
Yes.
And you develop willfulness by doing the things you don't like.
Yes.
So the moment you start saying, I don't wanna do it, I caught myself today saying, I don't wanna do something, that means you gotta do it.
Yep.
Because that's where being a man is. The boy is on the side where I don't wanna do it.
Yep.
So procrastination is the abortion clinic of ideas, right? You don't wanna move forward with something.
Yeah.
So now you can't give birth to anything.
Mm-hmm.
So a man is his mind, that's the womb of where he produces thoughts. So the black man is messed up right now physically.
Mm-hmm.
When you physically messed up, I mean, your testosterone is low. When you stress and it decreases testosterone, that testosterone makes you want to get it on your own merit, right? It makes you willful, right? It makes you want to challenge things. It makes you want to compete. So right now, the black man not acting like that because physically, he's not even in condition to get the job done, right? Biologically, like once you get past 25, your testosterone changes a little bit.
Yeah.
Now you're going through cycles. You think women go through cycles? Men go through cycles too.
We do.
Now your testosterone low, you don't feel like going nowhere. Yep. You don't feel like doing nothing. Because that testosterone, if it was high, you feel like going outside.
Yep.
You feel like moving around.
Yep.
You go get thy will done. So that's why we focus on, when we talk about wealth and things of that nature, it's also wellness. Like, you got to get your mind right. You can't be stressed out as a man. You got to be in a calm state of peace.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, and nobody has ever approached you to get on that album and do that. And the reason why I asked you that is because I was listening to Outkast's first album, and they had this guy named Big Rube. Love Big Rube. You know Big Rube?
Had the beard.
Well, anyway, he was like very militant black man, and in the middle of a song, he'll just talk.
Yeah.
But he said something. He said, Outkast, pronounce Outkast. He said, we are trying to change this. And he said, if you think being an outcast is about just slamming pimping hoes and slamming Cadillac doors, you probably a cracker, or you a nigga that think like one.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just, and it was like, and I'm like, you know, I'm grown now, but I'm 13, hearing that, that shit changes the makeup of who you think, because it's like, damn, it ain't about just that. Yeah. We more than just slamming. We more than pippin' hoes and slamming Cadillac doors. We more. What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm here to talk to you about YKTV Magazine, which is the number one magazine for prison entertainment. These prisoners are sitting in jail. They have nothing to do but read these magazines and read your ads, buy your music, support your business, anything that you can do that's online commerce. They already have published over 140 magazines with 36 major artists that have covered it, and I'm giving you an opportunity to advertise this magazine and get directly to an audience that you know has the time and the money to spend. Info at the bottom, info at the God Show. Holler at us, whether you're an artist, producer, whoever you are. We can help you with your business. Holler at us to get to YKTV.
More than that, even though we're doing Southern Playlistic Cadillac funky music, we're still showing you where that. You are an outcast. We're all outcasts.
Yeah.
And those things. So when I'm listening to you talk, I'm like, man, I just feel like your message needs to be like every, like if you Kendrick, it's like, I need 19 keys. Like Kanye, I need that. Like to come do that thing you do, because that's a verse.
Yes.
It might not rhyme, but that's a verse.
Yes,
that's what, and I know you can make it rhyme too, but that's a verse, bro. We need to elevate us and our thought process, because I'm watching men, and it's weird because no one told me to be a man. So I don't like telling men to be men.
Yeah.
Cause it's like weird for me to say, do what men do, but I'm like, no one told me that. I just needed to be a man.
Well, men learn through observation. Like my father, I learned most from my father just by watching him. Right? Because he wasn't always the type of person that would teach me directly.
Yeah.
He would teach other people around me, and I would have to ear hustle and learn. Right? But I learned on how other men respected him, how he carried out business, how he can move through different hats. He just left this super militant meeting with these brothers talking all this revolutionary, but he know how to go talk to the white folks, go get this contract done.
Exactly.
He know how to be smooth and charismatic. And I remember that, like, it messed me up first time I seen my pops do that. You just talking about these white devils, now you in there smooth as hell. These devils love you.
He know how to play the game. He know how to play.
It was smooth. That's what I'm saying. I just watched him.
Paid attention.
He just knew how, because he also has a very powerful presence.
Yeah.
But he knew how to make sure that energy wasn't putting people off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, how you doing, brother? Good to meet you. You know what I'm talking about? Yes, sir. Nice to meet you. Come in the room and everybody just love him. You feel me? But fear him at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's powerful.
That's powerful.
That's powerful.
But you know what it is? Because here's the thing. It's not, I don't have to be anti you to be pro me.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with you.
Yeah.
I know you have an agenda, but I have to create my own agenda.
Yeah.
And if our agendas clash, that's cool, because now I'm conscious of it. You ain't going to run that on me. But what's up, bro? Because at the end of the day, no matter, every race cares about the same thing at the end of the day. They all need green.
Right.
And if I got to go in here and shake your hand, I'm going to play my game, because that's what I got to, that's what they're doing.
I mean, pro-blackness only ever meant pro-love.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Because black people, we emanate love.
Mm-hmm.
That's the frequency we be on.
For sure.
You feel me? Uninterrupted.
Yep.
Yes.
You feel me? We just be about love, man. What's going on, brother? Let me show you some love.
Yeah, like, for sure.
Those were the movements in the 60s and the 70s. The brother just smooth as hell, man.
Yeah.
You ain't trying to bother nobody. You feel me? That's how we are in our condition, unbothered though.
Yeah.
But we end up having to be hyenas and warriors and lions because people are always trying to bother us. You feel me? Like, our nature is constantly being interrupted. Like, look at the city, right? If we stop landscaping all throughout Atlanta, nature would take over.
Yep.
That's how black people are. They have to constantly cut down our nature so we don't take over.
Been telling the people that.
So they spray pesticides and poisons, they cut us down, they demean our image, they don't let us never know of what would it look like if we did take over. Right? What would this world look like if it was really in our image? We never had a world in our image. We don't see that.
Yeah.
And we don't even get to see it in the movies.
Yeah. Nope.
We get close to seeing it on Black Panther. Look good over there. But they were selfish as hell in Black Panther. That's why everybody was rooting for Killmonger.
Yeah.
You feel me? Because he was trying to take resources and bring it back to the people.
Exactly.
They just trying to live comfortable. Ain't tell nobody goddamn about nothing. So Wakanda wasn't worth shit.
Yeah.
You feel me? They weren't trying to help nobody.
Only to Wakanda.
Only to Wakanda.
Yeah. Unless you a Wakandian.
Yeah.
You feel me? They got all this great technology and just watching us suffer. So all throughout slavery, Wakandians was just watching the movie.
That's real.
Wakandians weren't shit, man.
I will ask you a question. The name 19 Keys,
yes,
where
sir.
Does it come from? How did you get it?
So the name
and it's a layer to the question.
Yes, sir.
And I want to ask you about the character, right? Because, you know, what people don't understand is that I know you're intentional about who you are.
Yes, sir.
I know you're intentional because I see how the dress, like, I see your brand. When I walked into InvestFest, I seen your brand. I seen people walking around with your brand. Yes, I'm like, he gets it. But you had to say, like, what I mean by that is, like, you said something about a powerful black man who is also alpha energy, who's also going to lead his community, who's also a thought leader. The world looks for our weaknesses. You know that. They can't, like, that's why the FBI was planting mics in MLK, because they're like, he like women. Like, y'all think y'all hero perfect. He likes this. So you have to know, like you said, like, I've seen my brother, I've seen my dad. My brother was in jail. I seen my dad. So you had to become the better version because you knew the pitfalls. So how did you create the character? What was the thought process? Because you are a superhero out here.
Man, I looked at what we didn't see. And I added that to the algorithm.
Okay.
Right? Like, I thought about, what do I want to see in the world? Like, what is the version of black men that I want to see? I never get to see my identity reflected in music, really. I don't truly get to see it reflected on the movies ever.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's no character that's like 19 Keys in no movie across the planet.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Throughout time.
For sure.
That's disrespectful because there's so many different type of black men, but they only show like the lowest ones.
Yeah.
You feel me? So anytime you see anything different, you think that's an outlier, not the norm.
Yes.
We think the low level, the nigga is the normal. Right? And we think somebody who exceeds past that is the outlier.
Yep.
So therefore, when we see somebody doing it, we're like, okay, well, that's just him. Yeah. That's not us.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, the goal is to make it normal.
Yes.
So that's us. Mm. And that's the outlier when we act like niggas. You feel me? So
agreed.
I also study science. I study the science of movements.
Okay.
So all movements are well designed, well constructed. A lot of us, we become lazy in our movements. We think that the words are enough. No, it has to become a world, right? When you look at some of the great today, the artists today, they build characters.
Yeah.
You look at Ice Spice with the little Betty Boop hair. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? She has the same sayings, the same dances, the same. So people can emulate that same image.
Yes.
So you can dress up as her for Halloween. She becomes a character in your mind. If you imagine her, that character with the same sayings is playing through your fantasy.
Yep.
Right? That was important. So when you study the greats, which you can go all the way back to Marcus Garvey. Marcus Garvey had a well-uniform, a well-designed movement from the way they wear their hats to the suits that they wear to the slogans, the campaigns, the marketing. He had stock papers. He had the black star because they had the white star line. So he said, no, let's have a black star line ship. Right? It's the reason that Ghana has a black star in their flag today because of Marcus Garvey.
Wow.
So when I look at well-designed movements, this is how this thing work. Elijah Muhammad, well-designed movement. The brothers got the suits, they got the bow ties. So if you ever want to be a part of that world, wear the suit, bow tie, clean cut. You know what I mean?
That's real.
Be smooth. It's a way that we eat, a way that we talk. So therefore, you can adopt into this membership of this culture.
Yes.
Right? We have a culture that's represented, but the membership cost is very low. Right? You can get on a beat and you can rap very well and it can be sold by the industry and we can say you a part of it. We talked about this.
Yeah.
Right? So when we talk about designing, we look at Emery Douglas with the Black Panthers. He designed all the art to connect people to the movement. Literacy rates are never sky high. Everybody can't read and know all those big words and things.
Yeah.
So you connect them to the art, the feeling of it.
Yes,
look at Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
They spending all that money to figure out what's the best way to sell her to the American people.
Yeah.
If we say money wins the election, what are we really saying?
Yep.
If we are lauding somebody for raising the most amount of money in history, what are we really saying?
Yeah.
I don't think we understand what we're saying.
I agree.
We're saying that these people are going to spend enough money, not because they're the best candidate. I ain't saying she is or she isn't.
Yeah.
But they saying that it's the money that's going to win, so they then have to spend that money, what, to manipulate the people?
Yeah.
To psychologically control them?
Yep.
Right? To brand an idea, an impression in their mind to see this person as a way?
Mm-hmm.
You grab the research group, say things like this. Don't do this. Mm. Not to be a human.
Yeah.
Not so you can see a person's heart and connect with them or who they are, but to project a image. Right? Obama ran off hope. It was a campaign of marketing.
For sure.
So when I look at it in today, I also look at colors, the psyops that was ran on black people in America through Superfly, where everybody started to become pimps.
Yep.
Because they thought the pimp was the masculine man. You know what I mean? And he was a smooth. He got the ladies. You feel me? So therefore, the brothers stopped being militant. They start being pimps and dressing in European clothes in fashion in the 70s. Mm. And people be like, they did it in the 70s. Yeah, that's not the era to emulate. Mm-mm. The 70s is when we started getting messed up,
yeah.
Right? We started doing all the drugs. Then we went to harder drugs, right? And it messed us up. You don't go to the era to where we first messed up the most and then be like, but they did it then. Yes, they was tripping then.
Yeah.
So directly answering your question, man, as you can see, I like to study things and see things from what makes them work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough to just do something. Yeah. You got to do it the right way. So I say, okay, how do I want to be represented? But it has to be authentic. I'm militant.
Yeah.
Right? I look at myself as like a Malcolm X and James Bond mix.
Mm.
You feel me? I'm going to be smooth on that mission. But the mission I'm going on, right, is a politically conscious mission to shift the world. But also, you know, James Bond, he got money. He got access to the latest technology tools. He got an infrastructure behind him. You feel me? So if we have to go into the world, then, all right, how can I be that archetype that didn't exist? Sometimes I used to have a big bulky chain just to show you this difference because a young man will look at that and be like, well, he broke though, so why would I listen? No, I got some money. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. You feel me?
You
like,
got to have the
candy. You got to look like
all these psychological things. And then I knew, well, I can take the chain off eventually because they know I got one.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
I don't need to wear it all the time. Right? So then like those things become a little more subtle, but it's the uniform of the movement. It's the way that you speak, the way that you talk, the way that you think. Because in the FOY, all of those things is what connects you to something bigger than yourself.
That's how you know.
If you want to do the same thing, how can you emulate that thing to feel like you are part of it?
Mm.
So yeah, always part of my success is the science that goes into it.
Yeah.
But it's also very authentic to who I am. I can talk like this all day long.
It don't matter if the camera's on you or not.
Yep. Off. We like this, but I also probably might be more relaxing, joking, and goofy sometimes.
Yeah,
you feel me? That's me.
That's you still a me. You feel me? Yeah.
And I'm perfectly imperfect. I'm never going to tell you I'm your perfect leader. So if you find out that I'm imperfect, well, that just means I'm human.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
are you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I promise you, I'm not as fucked up as you are. You know what I'm saying?
So where did 19 Keys come from? How'd you come up with that name?
19 Keys comes from, I was reading some knowledge and some literature from Masterful Art Muhammad.
Okay.
He is the one who taught Elijah Muhammad to begin a nation of Islam. But there's few works of quotes and literature from him from when he was speaking. And this was in the 1930s, or 1920s rather. And he said that there's 17 million original people.
Mm.
And he said there's 2 million Indians. And he said that represents the 19 million rusty lock minds. And he said there's 19 million well-oiled keys to unlocking those rusty lock minds.
Mm.
But keys was a word that was interchangeable for knowledge, for enlightenment.
Yeah.
So that if a people are enlightened, they can never be oppressed again.
Mm.
So when I heard that, it just resonated with me very well, right? And the number 19 is not a number that represents a finite number. It's a number that represents all because everything scales between the 1 through 9, right? Those are the only numbers in existence. So it represents all truth, all knowledge, enlightenment. You feel me? And so it goes even deeper than that. But that was why I first resonated and I just heard it and I was like, oh, I'm 19 keys.
Yeah.
Because when I have keys in my life, I caught a case and my brother told me what books to read and I was able to use that key knowledge to get out that, to empower myself. I said, damn, I need to be in a key in the life of other people that don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I'm 19 keys.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to represent what I don't see. My mom used to always stop complaining about it, be about it.
Yeah.
You feel me? So all the things that I feel like we didn't see, high level conversations, because I'm like, I don't see long form content going to in-depth knowledge.
Yes.
People tell me it didn't work. I knew it was going to work because it was rare. It was valuable. It was what's needed.
And it's what you were been attracted to, period.
Exactly.
So you knew that. That's how me.
And we changed the media game with that.
Yeah, for sure. Y'all did.
People wasn't doing B-roll the way that they doing it now. People wasn't doing overlay text. People weren't doing long form conversation, right? So ours have always been independent. It's been self-funded for the longest. Since we started, now we have one of the number one shows in the world, because anytime I do something, first I gotta have a vision for it.
Yeah.
If I don't have a vision, I can't do it, because I'm not gonna be connected.
For sure.
I don't feel like doing it, number one. Right? And when I do it, it's gonna feel like work. So even the way I dress myself, like, I gotta have a vision for it.
Yeah.
I design all, every time I'm on stage in Invest Fest, I gotta be the flies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? You gotta step out there on that God side. I have some black crystals with the Vans, some black with the.
Right. Yeah.
I gotta be the flies every time, because It's not enough to have a message. Yes. It has to be elevated.
And, you, and not only that, you remember being a young man and you knew what you were.
Right.
I don't want to hear what you got to say if you ain't looking the way I want to look.
That's Malcolm was never, all the revolutionaries was always the flyest.
Yeah. Yes.
Always. Garvey was fly.
Yeah.
The Panthers was fly. Yeah. Malcolm, he got everybody wear his frames to the day. It's the Malcolm look.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Farrakhan will come out fly. Che Guevara was fly. Like, they never came outside bummy. You ain't listen to these bummy niggas.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You feel me?
By the way,
cleanliness is godliness, as Brother Nori say.
Absolutely. Man. I have to ask you a question. What, and you kind of just spoke on it slightly, but I wanted to get into it. So, obviously, you sat down, you've created 19 Kings, a character. You know who he is. You know how he dresses. You know everything. You got the vision for what you are about to do. You could have went a few different directions, but you decided to partner with EYL, which is based on, you know, financial literacy. So I wanted to know, like, what was your thought process in that move rather than, because you could have easily went and partnered with someone else that was more aligned with the FOI, but you was like, no, I want to align with these guys. They speaking about money. Like, why was that?
Well, if you're not familiar, you wouldn't know, I'm one of the pioneers of that whole movement of financial literacy in the U.S.
For sure.
For a lot of people talking about stocks and options and artificial intelligence and financial literacy, and I stepped out there and was doing it.
Yeah.
And I did it without the credentials, right? So, of course, you're going to get criticism when you're doing that, right? Most people are talking about stocks. I'm talking about options as well because I learned some of those things from my brother, and I'm like, damn, we don't know this.
Yeah.
We don't know that if the market is going down, you can still make money.
Yeah.
So where a lot of people, they didn't want me to talk about it. It was like, no, just tell people about stocks. You tell them about that. I'm going to tell them about everything that I learned.
For sure.
Right? So I'm stepping out there teaching them about everything that I learned. So I put together the Infinite Wealth Strategies. We had the Wealth Standard. We had the BWO, which is a partnership that I created. And I did it with the wrong people. So I learned the most lessons from that one.
The good and the bad.
You know what I'm saying? Sure. We had the Shifters early on, all the way back in 2016. We was traveling the world for free, speaking all across. And the whole point was just to showcase unity and collaboration.
Yes.
Because I named the, had the concept about the WeGo. In our communities, we always brag about what we do.
Yes.
What I do. I got this done. I was the one. I. And I'm like, before we can get rid of the ego, we just need to point it in the right direction. Mm. Let's brag about what we do, where we go, right? What we can do together. So therefore, we start traveling. We start speaking, right? And I'm good with mostly all of the people that we started that group with, you know, to this day. So when it comes to Earn Your Leisure, I was coming off, you know, the heels of a bad partnership. And I remember them brothers was trying to beef with these brothers. And behind the scenes, I'm one of the ones that stop a lot of conflicts that happen in our community.
Sure.
I'm one of those who lead the leaders. So there's a lot of work that get done that's never on camera, which I think is the most important work because that's what shifts reality the most. So being in this space, I understood that we needed the both of best worlds. You feel me? To where they can be more safe and appealing. You know what I mean? It can be more corporate, right? And then I'm going to bring the consciousness and the culture. You feel me? And if we merge those together, then we have a more holistic view of what we need. Because financial literacy ain't just what we need whatsoever.
I love that you said that. I didn't even think about that. But you understood that my message needs to be there too.
Yes.
Because it's more than just money. It's also, because like that's the, you just really opened my eyes because that's the problem. Everybody wants money,
right?
But they don't understand that it starts up here first before it hits your pocket.
Money will soon depart.
Yes.
And most people ain't even ready for it. Like a lot of people, they come to InvestFest. You think you need to hear about money, but that ain't even what you need.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like you need the mindset to shift your reality, right? And we are spiritual people, so you can't talk to us just in this corny corporate terms. Like we got to hear stuff with rhythm and spirit.
Yeah.
We know that.
We got to feel like the leader is one of us rather than
we got to feel like we are part of something bigger to really operationalize us.
I always say the thing I liked about InvestFest, it wasn't about the conversations. It was about seeing that you are not alone.
Mm.
And you're, because, you know, when, you know, it's 30,000 people there, but it's 50 million of us in America, right? So those 30,000 people are coming from places all over the world where they have dreams.
Yeah.
And now they're around people who are chasing their dreams. So now you don't feel ashamed. Like it's like I read a book, 17 Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. He said, poor people have a problem with promotion and rich people don't mind promoting. And when you walk in InvestFest, and I did double dutch there. Like like the girl was like, come on, do it. I'm like, I don't want to do double dutch. And like, no, so it's like, but it's like, you can't be afraid to get in people's face and say, this is what I'm doing. And to me,
if you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
That's what I like about it. I like that it's like, if you're at a Vest Fest and you're worrying about what's happening on stage, getting to them, you miss the concept.
Right.
The person next to you wants the same thing you want. That's why you pay for your ticket. So now you should be trying to figure out how you can work with the room rather than how you can get the 50 Cent because on 19 Keys because they're on the big stage. Right. I'm like,
we just brought you all the people you need to work with. We brought you your consumer base. Network,
yes.
We brought you your partners. We brought you everything in one room is there for you.
Yep.
People be having these conversations about whether it's worth it or not. You think it's not up to the event to make it worth it for you when you go into a space. It's up to you to make it worth it.
Yep.
You paid your money, got fresh, got fly, and you showed up, and you was around 10,000 of entrepreneurs, and you telling me you couldn't make it worth it?
Yeah.
You couldn't shake a hand and make a connection?
10 people? 10? Right? Just 10?
Yeah. Like, you couldn't make it worth it. Now, there's people that's talking about all subjects. You have to go in there with a better intention.
Yes, exactly. You have to go in there to, but
you don't even know what you're looking for.
But here's my thing.
Now, if you ever hear 19 Keys in person, it's definitely worth it. I ain't gonna lie.
Oh, now for sure. Now for sure. By the way, the Acre Boys would have told with you. They already told me. They were like, bro, he brings, like, they come out to hear what he has to say.
On my tours, I don't even say the same thing twice. Mm. So, like, there's people that came to like 2-3 stops.
Yeah.
And everyone was different.
Each one is different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So what I was saying is that, you know, and then another thing is that sometimes, like, I'm a believer in God, right? Sometimes you have to show God that I believe in myself.
Yeah.
Right? I believe in you, but okay, I'm glad you believe in me, but how much do you believe in you?
Mm-hmm.
Because do I have to come down and tell you to invest money in yourself? Because let me tell you something. The reason why I say do it is because we learn more when we really lose.
Mm.
Like, if I gave you $1 million and you lost at gambling, I guarantee you, you could write a book on how not to lose money.
No, the lessons are the best part. You know what I mean? The lessons is where you grow the most.
Absolutely.
Because you then experiment, you reiterate, and you learn how to do better. And then that knowledge that you learn from the lesson is what you can teach everybody else.
Exactly.
So that's why it's more valuable than the successes.
For sure.
If you just succeed, you can't teach people how to fail the right way. Right? What to look for, the pitfalls, how to go through it. When you go speak to a mass group of people, now you can speak from their experience. Yeah. Oh, I know you about to go through this. You about to go through this. Let me consult you, mentor you, so you can skip all of these things.
Yeah.
But getting back to Invest Fest, like, I first met with EYL. I think my brother Wall Street Trapper connected us at Dame Dash Studios, and we had a conversation. And I instantly took a liking to them brothers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Rashad, he was very quiet at the time, kind of just give you that eye looking.
Yeah, you can tell
if he cool or not at first. Yeah. Then with Troy, he got the more lighthearted side, and it was a good balance, but I can tell that these brothers was authentic, you know what I mean, and they was real, and we just stayed and kept a connection until it made sense, you feel me? And we talked about it, we was like, oh yeah, this is about to be the biggest thing in the culture.
Yeah.
I understood it even more than they did, because I'm like, all right, y'all know what y'all signing up for, right?
Sure. It's fame, it's life changing.
Yeah, because I'm about to do what I'm about to do, and from the first episode to the second episode, they just been going and going and going and going. And shout out to my team and my brother Mechie and, you know, Steve and Solomon and Luna and all the people behind the scenes, my brother Blue Pill, because without them, you know, it really wouldn't be possible. I love to be able to give a vision, give direction, and then they're able to execute it.
Yes.
You feel me? Very well. But, you know, being able to work and not have egos clash, I think is the key. And that requires constantly resetting. Having real communication.
Yeah, always.
Having real conversations. Where we at with this? What are we doing with this? You feel me? Like, all right, what's the future of this? How are we going to continue to build? Because we both done grown.
Yes.
You feel me? Like, all right, what does the future of this scale look like? How we continue to complement each other and elevate the culture? Because we could have stopped collaborating 3 years ago.
And not only that, I want to say this for the people that don't understand what's happening. Because when I started working with, I worked with someone who, this guy who, Don Vito, who produced Inside the Vault. So, you know, I didn't understand that it was an actual network.
Yeah.
And you have a show that comes on the network in this. And we so busy trying to figure out how to do our own thing. That was what was impressed me, what was like. And then when he started breaking down, he was like, 19 Keys is the number one on the network. Like, I'm like, I never looked at it like it's just YouTube, but you, if you treat it like it's important, right? Yeah. It will be important. If you treat it like it's nothing, it'll be nothing.
YouTube is just independent networks. It's the same exact thing.
It's not. It's no different than NBC.
It's the only difference is that, you know, you get paid more by being on the networks that they have it set up, because they haven't set it up for the independent creator to get paid the same way.
Yep.
Based on CPM rates and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So you definitely can set up things on the back end and set up your own networks and have it licensed out in all these different spaces to make sure that your IP is able to bring in more income, you know, which I believe is going to be monumentally important going into the next year. Right, I think that they really attacking the creator being self-sufficient and having that much power in media.
Yeah.
So the but the strength comes in the numbers, because you got all of these black creators, right? And so one person may go to Procter & Gamble and be like, look, we want some of that advertising
dollar. I'm glad you went there. Yeah. That's where I was going to go. I was going to say the only difference between NBC and us is that NBC goes and says, we have 24 hours of programming and you can advertise. Okay, who's your clients? Okay.
Exactly.
And we and you guys created an aggregate where it's like, you want to advertise on the EYL network? Okay, you could do Inside the Vault. You could do Market Mondays. You could do high-level conversations. You could do, and they the that combination, everybody rises up. That's what I was
need
I like
more of that
going.
Because it needs to be everybody in a bucket to where it's like, all right, and this is where you get, they'd be like, all right, I got 500 million, but how you gonna spread it across? Right? Oh, we go get 100 million over here to Joe, and then we go get this 100 million over here to Shannon. We'll get this 100 to high level. We go get this another 100 to the EYO, and another 20 over here, 10 over here. Yep, they start sprinkling it so that they can start advertising on these platforms. But the problem is, no one of us by ourselves is big enough. If you go look at the top 10 podcasts, there ain't no black people. You got the brother Steven that's out there from the UK, but ain't no black Americans. And so that's a problem. That's an issue. We way too influential to not have the top podcast in the world.
And we have to see, we have to trust each other. And that doesn't mean that we're not going to make mistakes. You're not going to learn. Like, I've never been perfect, but I was like, I told my boy, I did my boy Beehive show, and I was like, bro, like, you need to be thinking bigger. And he's like, what you mean? I said, I had zero subscribers when I started.
Yeah.
You don't think I would have partnered with you to put all my content on your network? And he was like, damn. And I'm like,
the broadcast channels is what matters the most.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta have a great show. You put it on your own, it ain't going nowhere. Mm-hmm. You got a great show, you put it on mine, it might do a million.
Exactly. And now you have the awareness. Exactly. So now we ride, and we have to figure out. We just have to pay.
You have to have equitable relationships.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Not transactional.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
you don't need 100% of the pie. You need an equity percentage of a pie that's worth 100 times more collectively.
Yeah.
You feel me? That matters more. What is why you need to get it by yourself? What's this need to say, I did it by myself? Mm-hmm. That's not real.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like, that's not good. You got all these black people in America, you couldn't work with one. Yeah, you did it by yourself.
Like, that's more saying about you. Because my thing is this. Like, I tell people, I trust people. And they like, why? And I'm like, because I don't have bad intent.
Yeah.
So they have bad intent, then I'll see it immediately. I've never entered a conversation with bad intent. I trust people. Why? Because I'm not trying to fuck nobody.
And the intent should be better like this. Like, you see somebody building, and I like what LL Cool J did. He went on everybody's platform.
Sure.
You feel me? Like, when you see rising platforms, you got to make it your intention to go over there.
And
you got a story you want to break, I'm going to go to them.
Yes.
Why? Because you boost that platform up. If you care about black America whatsoever, you care about your people, you care about us growing in this media space. Because black men are the number one growing in the media.
Yes.
And they hate it, because they can control us. And once you become a media platform, you have influence over economy.
Yeah.
Right? You have influence over economics, over supply chains. You can birth businesses. You can destroy businesses.
Yes.
You can make politicians. You can
thoughts,
get rid of
them. You can plant thoughts in
the
people. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't it make sense for us to have our own network of people that get a certain reach that's all connected?
Yeah.
You feel me? Like, we do our own booking. It's tough. Everything we do, we got to spend money on everything. I always thought, man, if I create something that's successful, all of the people will just instantly come.
Yeah.
No, you still got to fight for every single crumb and every single inch of growth
and
that happens.
And out of that, like you said, we have to reset.
Right.
And look at what we did right.
Right.
What we did wrong.
Right.
What do we need to do to go forward?
Exactly.
And higher. Like, okay, we've been rising at like this rate, but how do we shoot up a little bit? What's the, and it's, and all we gotta, collaboration.
We got to share the game with each other.
Yes, I agree.
You know, you watching somebody that you can get a game and be like, man, Ray, hire this person to do this, or I'm going to connect you with this person and you go blast up. Why you need to be the only one at the top with the game?
And Ashcash says something. He said,
that's a fact.
I don't lose by giving you information.
No.
When I give it to you, that doesn't mean it leaves my body.
We lose by not giving each other information.
Right. Agreed.
It's more dangerous to go in a circle and you're the only one.
Exactly.
But if we come together, are we good?
Somebody, I'm going to tell you something. I sat at the table with a very powerful black person in Hollywood who is works with all the big white people, but is still elevated in thought. And he said, every black person that has sat at the table has been made to think you're different. That's why you're at the table.
Right. They get separated from the race. They get part of a class.
Exactly. So then it becomes, but that you're different is very stereotypical because it's like, you're different. Well, how do you know how they are?
Mm.
How do you know I'm different from them? I'm just like them. You just have not taken the opportunity to learn who they are. You just have learned, focused on the stereotype of what you think I can be. So when he said that, I was always like, no, we're not different. So now, and if we are different, then let me talk putting out the differences.
Right, the difference would be the value.
That's exactly.
Right, we're different, but when we come together, that amalgamation changes the world.
Exactly.
Because normally these two substances don't collaborate. They don't connect. You would never share information with me. Now that you have, I see things differently. I'm gonna operate differently.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like, that's the value of it. You bring these people that are super contrasted and then they connect. You've been in this corporate world doing these huge deals. You see things from a million miles up.
Yeah.
Connect with this person that's on the ground.
Yeah.
You feel me? Now they can use their platform in a completely different way. They're going to build in a completely different way. I just want us to have, and it's a mutually beneficial relationship, right? For more of us to rise at the top together, so it's less of an outlier and this is the norm.
Mm.
You feel me? Like, I like what I see with Shannon Sharp and Joe Budden and EYL and, you know, 85 South and all these different people. It's like, what I see with Joe Budden and them and Lex Fridman and Dan Huberman, the same guests be rotating.
Yep.
People of prominent position see you building a platform. They respect it. I want to be on there. They're reaching out to you.
Yep.
They say yes instantly.
Yep.
They ain't trying to charge you $100 million to come on their show.
Yep.
They understand the value of building this space out.
And the power of influence. Like, yeah, you made money, but you gave voices to the wrong people.
Exactly.
The power of influence, the power of saying, I want to talk to this brother. Like, who? I want to talk to him. By the way, it can be on camera, but why not on? Why off camera, but why not on? So the people can listen, because this brother is absolutely doing superhero work within our community. And why wouldn't I want to talk to him? Because it's like when Wolverine and Deadpool get together.
Right. So I need the game. I need the knowledge.
Not for real. So I want to ask you.
I'm a student.
I want to ask you. So financial literacy, I think that, you know, I'm going to break it down in my words, and you're going to articulate it so much better and clearer afterwards. In 2020, the pandemic hits, and they opened up the pipeline, and everybody had more money than ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think the pandemic messed us up in a lot of ways because, you know, if you didn't have money, you're going to lose your goddamn mind the first time. And a lot of people had money for the first time in 2020. I had a cousin that was like my little, he worked for me, loved me, I don't want to leave your house, Ray. And he got one of them PPP loans for $50,000.
See you
and he
later.
Looked at me like, nigga, who you? I had to put him on my house. By the way, he lived with me for 5-6 years. I put him out because he looked at me like, nigga, you ain't the only one with money around here. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. Well, that money runs out. I know that.
Yeah.
So, but now, obviously, inflation goes up and everything else. And now I've been noticing for the last couple of years, because I have money, and when I go out, it's super expensive to be out, and especially in the black communities, it's almost like they overcharge for what happened to the Cold Crest, where now they're like dog. When I put up to Invest Fest, I swear to God, the Friday night event, parking was $10, and I gave the guy $10, and you know what I said? I said, bro, thank you for charging normal rates, because like you be thinking, like it's like you go to the club now and it's
40.
Six, like I'm going to 60. Grab some food real quick and it's 60, leave up front. Like I leave up front, pay 60 or in the back for 20. And I'm like, well, what's the difference? Like should I be nervous about the back? Like,
you know what I'm
saying? Like, are you shaking me down to give you $60?
Yeah.
No, seriously. But now I'm noticing like the divide where it's like the people who are smart, they've held on and survived the drought, if you will, of money. But then I'm seeing a lot of us fall by the wayside.
Yeah.
So how, like what, what do you think the future looks like for our people or for poor people in general to make it in the world where we're seeing AI take jobs? We're seeing AI be creative now. We're seeing and all these things change. And then we also know it's no money. That's why I think people want to vote for Trump so bad, because they remind them of 2020 when we had money.
Exactly. And
so I think that's why this coming from. But you understand financial literacy. So I'm asking you, like, what do you think if you're talking to a 10-year-old about, like, what the future looks like in 10 years, or if you had a 10-year-old son or daughter, what would you say they should be doing? Because the economy is about it's not a populated anymore. It feels like it's about who's smart and who's not. Who's smart will survive. Who's not will, you got people falling deeper and deeper and deeper holes. So what do you think the future looks like?
I think it's about creating your own jobs at this point, right? Somebody reach out to me and they say, Keys, what can I do for you? Well, what can you do? Right? I don't know what you can do, so I don't know what you can do for me. Versus somebody reach out to me and say, Keys, I just edited 10 of your videos. You know what I mean? You can post these however you like if they go viral, right? And if you want to pay me monthly, right, here's my rate. Now, I got AI, so I don't have to charge as much because I can use them to cut up the clips, but I'm going to manage this for you.
Yeah.
You just created a job for yourself.
Yep.
Congratulations. Right? Right now, it's about skill development. If you don't have no skills, right, it's going to be very hard to pay them bills. You know what I'm talking about? So I think you should focus on becoming an expert at something. Right? You can get into general mastery, but be an expert. When I talk to you, you should say, I'm an expert at this.
Yep.
Right? Something behind your name. Don't tell me what degree you got. Don't tell me who you work for. Tell me your expertise.
Yep.
Then I can decide whether that fits. Figure out when you look at people, be an independent contractor. I want to partner with you.
Yeah.
And every dollar I take, I'm going to take commission. You ain't got to pay me.
Yeah.
Right? I think that that's a better model, walking up to people. So therefore, it's game theory.
Yeah.
It's win-win or lose-lose. Yeah. Like, but at the end of the day, don't have me work for you, find out you're not that good.
Yeah.
Right? Now I gotta fire you as well. Then I gotta replace you.
And now you hate me.
Right.
You're telling the whole world I'm a bad person.
Right.
Because I parted ways with you. But I asked you, and I think that people have access to too much information.
Yeah.
So they wanna do too much.
Yeah,
so
they need to dial
they
it
need
down.
To dive
but
into
this is the skill
learn
economy
one thing
right
out of
now.
Cause even now, like my first 6 years of my career in music, I've been in January makes 20 years, I'm sorry. The first 6 years was me learning how to be in the music business, if you will. Like, what I mean by that is, like, approach is very important, right? I'm pretty sure in any world, approach is important. Like, do you walk up to somebody and say, I remember the first time I mentioned Timmy Allen. I remember the first time I called him. I was like, hey, can I speak to Timmy Allen? He's like, who is this? I'm like, I sound like a bill collector, right? Like, you call my phone to ask for Ray Daniels. I'm like, who wants to know? You know what I mean? So I started realizing you speak to them like they're your friend. Yo, what's up, Timmy? How you doing? They'll mess with you. So first 6 years was learning how to be in it. First 6 years was learning how to be in it. The next six was learning how to survive it.
Mm.
Because I'm not six, four. Was learning how to survive it. Like okay, I'm in it, but I've seen friends get signed and now they working jobs. So I'm like, I've been in it 6 years. I want to be in it 20. So how do I survive it? The last 10 years has been me learning the intricate parts of it. So 2014 to 2018, I wanted to learn the science of hit records. I didn't want to just, I sat in a room with Dr. Luke and I would ask questions and why is that and why is that? And then I was working for L.A. Reid and I'm asking him questions. I was a student. I had an SVP title, but I acted like an intern. I didn't walk around like SVP. I was asking the interns, what y'all do? I was always curious. And the last years have been me learning. So the last six have been learning the larger game. People be coming in worrying about the larger game.
Right.
You ain't even mastered the damn small part.
Yeah.
You don't even have a reason to be in the room yet. You just lucky you got in here because you hustled. But now your skill keeps you here. So I'm glad I asked you that because I thought my opinion is community. I'm like, because I'm thinking that they're going to, if you're paying attention, like, so I live in Fayetteville right now. When I drive from Fayetteville to Atlanta, I'm seeing houses being built everywhere. Now, at first, the old mind was like, oh, that's dope. They built new houses. Oh, look what they doing with that land. Now the man that I am now, I'm like, damn, that's gonna be a lot of more people living out here. A lot more traffic. Mm-hmm. Like it's gonna take longer to get to work. Like, damn, that's how I'm thinking. Like, honestly, so I'm looking at it differently. And I'm just, I think what's gonna happen is that they're gonna try to create communities where you don't have to leave. So it's like, here's your apartment building. We have a grocery store in the apartment building, right? That you can own. We have a cleaners in the building. And by the way, and I'm saying building, but it could be neighborhood. We have a build. We have a cleaners in the neighborhood. We have a liquor store. We have everything that y'all need to never leave.
Yeah.
Because if you pay attention, look what happens. You got people out here working jobs to go home to have somebody do basic shit for them now. So you going to work 9 to 5, and now you have somebody get groceries for you.
Right.
Now you got somebody delivering food to the kids. Remember when I was a kid and there was no food in the house? Mom, you need to come home.
Right.
We need to eat. Now mom could just DoorDash and send some food right to the door now. So
you ain't got to leave your house for nothing.
But I think that's by design. Yeah. It's like, and next thing you know, but you have to, if you're not going to do that, then you have to figure out a way to to own something. So community to me was more like, what can you own? What can you teach? Like I always say my superpowers, I could teach anybody how to go from zero to super. Like I could, all you got to do is more of that. Because sometimes people don't see themselves. So I'm glad you answered that.
You said something important about community, because that's another thing for a lot of people that want to build brands. Like right now, podcasts, I wouldn't focus on getting direct payment from podcasts.
Thank you.
It's indirect value that you go receiving. If you got a product, you should be a thought leader for that product. Right, you should be teaching people about it. They should be learning the history of it, the sciences, the nuances around it. Because if you're giving them value, then they're going to seek to you to buy the product or get the service from you.
Yep.
Right. So I think that when I say expert, the first thing you should be an expert is your product, right, or your niche. And I would super niche it down right now.
Yeah.
Right. So you're not amongst trying to compete with everybody. You have a super niche at things that you do.
Yes.
Right? If you're in the music business, you say I only focus on K-pop hit records.
Yes.
Right. So anybody that wants to get into that, they go hit you up. Konnichiwa. Yep. What are we doing?
Right.
Right? They're not focused on all the other execs. When they speak about something specific, I want your niche mastery.
Yes.
So I know that you have a dense depth of knowledge on this field of subject.
Yes.
Do not focus on followers. Focus on the depth of connection that you have with the people that are existing. Right? My brother Aristotle always talk about, you know, focus not on your competition, but your customer.
Yep.
Built the whole entire business around. The funnel of Gen Z and Alpha is they want to be inspired, right? Show me, inspire me, educate me, connect me to the product. They're going to do their own research. Then they're going to buy. Put me in a community. Yes. I want to be a part of your world.
Yes.
Right? So I believe, like, speaking to the next leaders, your personal brand is based on who you are, but you have to understand the science of how to build a personal brand.
Yes.
Right? When we connect with people, we help them build out their brand. I tell them, that's why I always say I'm intentional about what I do, so you can understand that there's a framework to doing it. Right? There's not just, oh, I wake up and we just get it done. There's a lot of work behind the scenes to make sure it works.
Yes.
Right? And then you get to a certain point, and you're going to automatically understand the flow of how things work. But you have to have a framework. You have to have a science behind the magic.
Yeah.
There's anybody can get on the microphone and rap.
Like magic. I always
but say the science behind magic. The magic is the key. I can, you know, I be with Rant, so he be breaking down. He big on hit records.
My brother,
like the science.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, the science is what matters the most. Because the science is how you can repeat success over and over.
I always say that every artist out here, I think Sexy Red is science now.
100%.
She understands. But you have a lot of artists out here who are huge. I don't think Future figured out who he really was until he dropped that Dirty Sprite 2 after he went through, dropped the Honest album. And then he was like, oh, I'm King Toxic. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm that guy. And you're that, you know what I'm saying? I think
the market would tell you. That's the beauty of it. The market, and this is like, you can try to force it all you want to, then the market will give you a different feedback. I know what you try to do. This is how I see you.
Exactly.
But this is when they tell you how they see you, tell you the value.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the customer is always going to continue to tell you, this is what you can do to get my dollar.
Yeah.
Right? This is what you do to get my eyeballs, to get my attention.
Yes.
You keep serving me this way, I got you forever.
Period.
And I think that right now, you know, there's a lot of solo businesses that can be created just utilizing AI and technology. I've been teaching AI for like the last 5-6 years. Oh, so wow. I got an expertise on it more than most people on the planet. But most people are missing out on the opportunity of AI, becoming an AI agent, building personal AIs, using it in their marketing, using it in their content. Right now, people are overspending and they're not as efficient in their process because they're not using the technology.
Exactly.
So I think the skill economy is key, right? There are certain things everybody should have. You should have a brand, you should have a book.
Yep.
These are your resumes.
Brand, you know what I mean? I love that.
Your brand is going to represent who you are.
Yeah.
People that want to do business with you. They don't want your number. They want your IG.
Yes.
They want your LinkedIn.
That's real.
I need to check you, see who you
are. I need to know who you are.
Matter of fact, I don't need to see who you know.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All these people that follow you.
I need to see who I know that knows you.
That's your connections. Now I can do business. Oh, I see you know so-and-so. Yeah. They follow you.
Yeah.
I got this deal over here in Dubai. You think you can make that call for them?
Yes.
Yeah, I might. Just what's my points on that?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. No, but you're right. Business. Like I tell people, I'm like, my company is called, my first company is called Radar, but my new company is called LYI. It stands for Leverage Your Influence. Because I'm like, everyone has influence. Even if it's 20 people, you can take that 20. And by the way, I would sit down with artists and tell them what to do, and they would look at me like, huh?
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm going to do it. So I remember one of my artists, I called him, I said, I'm going to make a deal. We're going to be content creators. Yeah. I know you don't like it. I don't like it either. But if you do it every day for 6 months, I'll buy you a car. Because his car got reported. I was like, I'll buy you a new car. He does it for 3 weeks and then he stops. I do it for 2 years straight now. Now I got like 4 times the following he had. He had double what I had. But it's because you gotta be willing to do the actual work. And everybody wants to do the work they dreamt of. It's like you dream of going to the NBA, then you gotta dream of training too.
That's right.
You gotta dream of being coached too.
That's a fact. The process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love the process more than the results.
Me too.
The process is the dream.
Yep.
You feel me? Like going through and getting to it. Once you do it, it's like you're in the NBA. It's going to feel real good. You hit that championship.
Yeah.
But the playoffs, oh, that's the best part.
Yes.
When you actually in there proving you are who you say you are.
Yes. And by the way, once it's over,
you can't wait to get back into the process.
That's what I'm saying. And when you pay, the game feels different in the NBA. When you get to playoffs, then you realize every possession counts. So now it makes you better. So now you might not win that year, but next year you prepare.
And when you
win that experience
flow,
is the win. Once you get there, you know it. It's a wrap.
It gives you excitement, enthusiasm, and inspiration. And once you got that, right, you can take on life because that's when you tapped into that God within.
Exactly.
You got that spirit. You have that breath to do it. You have that enthusiasm, right? So you're going to be in the right attitude. But when you got that excitement, you're going to have that right energy.
Exactly.
When you're excited about something, you could be dead
tired.
You can
see it on your face, bro.
It'll wake you up.
I'm excited.
And ready to run.
I can't wait to do it.
Exactly.
And that's why I'm like, do what excites you, not just getting in it, or make the decision to be disciplined and say my excitement is not important right now.
Yeah, so
that's a lot
being
of things.
Indifferent from the outcome of things.
Yeah,
you feel me?
It's like either you're gonna focus on serving or being served.
Right, and that's where you gotta do what you hate.
Yep.
Right.
Period.
Do what you hate. Challenge yourself, and then grow, and you can be clear in your thinking. But I think we dialed down to something that was important, and that's the science. Like, focus on finding something that works. And repeating those results until they don't work, and then you shift.
Yep.
Because we as a people are very creative.
Yes.
And that creative sometimes can be our detriment. Because we're creating so much, we've already created something that can be a hit and be sold a million times, but we created a million things selling it one time.
Yep.
So now at this point in time, it's about the back end science and organizing and structuring.
Agreed.
Because I'm sure that I've created multiple things. I've created too much at this point, right? So now I just need to focus on what works and continue to scale that out. But focus on seeking partnerships, developing skills, utilizing technology, right? And being science-based while at the same time cultivating your magic.
Yeah, I have a guy, you remind me, I have a guy that works for me, Dre. He's been with me for 7 years now. When he came around, everybody wants to do A&R. Dre was the only person that learned the admin part of it. Because I told him, that's more like, by the way, now the music business, all A&Rs are admin people. Like in the way when I came in, paperwork, I was an A&R epic paperwork.
Well, we don't do that. We send that somewhere else.
I send it to somebody else. Data report, I ain't doing that. Now everybody has to do it. So now I tell people, I'm like, you better learn something. You better learn something. Because before I had a mic in my mouth, you better believe I made plenty of millionaires before I decided to talk. I've done something. So because what if I sit down and talk to somebody that read me like, nigga, you don't know shit. Then my whole career is over with.
Yeah.
Because I got read down by a nigga that know more than me. So nobody going to know more. But I want to ask you, because I know you rap.
was the did it become did that is that something that came before 19 Keys? Is it or is it something you're still honoring? Do you care about it?
So it's something that came way before. So in St. Louis, my older brother used to have me outside battling people on the block. Mm. So we used to be outside rapping all the time. You feel me? And really just throughout my life, he used to always freestyle and rap. You know, I created an album before and I lost it. I remember recording this whole album, going back and forth. And I had just bought this new car. It was an old car, actually. And I had
new to you.
Yeah, it was new to me. I didn't realize how old it was because I put it in the CD player and the car went out on me on the side of the road. And I left that car, but also left that CD in there. And I ain't shit. It took me a while to get back to the studio to do something because all of the records was lost. Yeah. So. And also, it's something that comes natural to me. Like, so natural that I didn't think I respected the talent. You know what I mean? When stuff comes natural to you, a lot of people don't respect it. It's the effort you put in that you respect.
I would say, if God give you a gift, honor it.
Yes.
Honor it, because if you don't honor it, that's disrespecting what the gift was for you. I don't understand how people have gifts and don't honor it, bro.
I know. And so I had to, because so many people for years is like, add the music. So I actually completed the album. And I've only sold it privately. So so I took the Proud to Pay movement, and people were buying it for $222. But I call it the living album at the point because I'm adding things, taking it away in real time as people listening and giving feedback.
That's fire.
And I have a community of people that's telling me what they like, what they don't like. So I got a whole lot of research on it right now at this point. So I know it's my own A&R through the community. You feel me? I can see what they listening to, when they listening to it. I'm getting all the real analytics and data. But it's been fun. I realized that I really love it. You feel me? I'm supposed to send a verse back to ASAP Ferg now on something.
You gotta do it, man.
There's a lot of people that said that I sent it to Hit-Boy. He likes the stuff on there. Sent it to Joey Badass, of course, Rance, a bunch of different people that just listened and giving me feedback on it. But it's been a dope process. But that's where you really learn, like, the hit making science.
The like, science of it all.
But then also understanding the times. Like, for me, like, what will work for me? You know what I mean? What do my people want to hear from me? You know what I mean? Because do I want to make something that, okay, maybe I get 20,000 people to buy the album, but that's attached to my movement? Because I look at it like what I'm doing is basically taking a reverse path of like Nipsey or Pac.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
By the way, I figured that. That's why I asked you about it last. Because I'm like, you get to know the man, and then you, because the people don't buy into what you do, they buy into why you do it. So they don't want to fit. So it's like, it's almost like, I didn't bring y'all to the table to hear me rap. But I do rap, and if y'all want to hear it, then it becomes different. Now it becomes different.
I feel like for me, it's real natural. So when people hear it, it feels like something that's natural. You know what I mean? It don't feel like something that's forced or like, you know, something you're trying to do on the side. Because even when I speak, you know what I mean? That's my freestyle capability, my ability to be able to put together just words and just let them flow.
Still on brand with everything that you got going on.
So adding rhyme and then just adding a beat to it, you feel me? That's easy for me, to be honest. I can go in the studio and just flow.
Because I tell people that make music, rap and R&B, all music is just conversations and rhyme.
It's really poetic. Trying not to rap is the best part. Like, just say it how you would naturally say it.
I have rules. Like, a part of my scientific rules to make a hit records is, especially with R&B, is like, sing it. Okay, now say it to me. Like, do you feel comfortable saying it? Like, do you feel like, do you feel comfortable reciting the lyrics in the conversation? Like, I can repeat, my mind's telling me no, but my body's telling me yes. Like, that's a conversation.
Yeah, I like that.
You know what
that.
I'm trying to say? Like, it's not like, it's conversational. It's not necessarily poetic, because niggas be trying to be talk up here when they rap and then they talk like this down here.
And see, sometimes I had to go in there, and the first time I hear the beat, I need the microphone right next to me. Because what I'm gonna say when it first hear it is gonna be completely different than iterations of takes later. You feel me? I need, like, because as soon as it come on, I start freestyling in my head or in real time, and then I can't get back them flow dope ass bars. I remember that.
Because it's gift. It's like it's just shooting at you.
Now I'm trying to get it back, but it's not as often.
Like, what I say again? Damn, that shit was dope.
And not why, but how I said it.
It's like when I'm inspired. Like, I get on stage, I gotta go back and listen to what I said, because I don't know what it was, because I was in a moment getting the feedback from the people in real time. It's the same thing with the beat. If I know something is dope because I hear something on it, like, sometimes a beat will tell me what to say, right? Because I can hear it flowing, like, oh snap, I'm hearing that, then I'm like, all right, that's what I got to put down.
Yeah.
You feel me? So if I really get inspired by something and the beat tells me what to say, then I know that's something I should go rap on. You
I
feel
that.
Me?
I got three more. This one I have to ask you, because I see you. So the way I look at myself is that I look at myself like I'm the real deal.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what room I enter, you can put me in a room with Jay, Kanye, all of them. And when we start talking about what we know, I maxed out what I know.
Yeah.
Like, they maxed out, like, my position, I maxed that shit out. Nigga, I use it every day. But then I also see people who are not that. So I just, and you don't have to answer if you want to, but I just wanted to ask you, like, how does a guy like you feel about a guy like Dr. Umar?
And what?
Like you're speaking about black consciousness, but it feels like it's from a different perspective. It feels like it's from within, right? And it feels like you haven't blamed one person yet. You haven't said, these niggas, you ain't, these black men with these white women, you ain't blamed. Your whole thing is, I'm just gonna tell you, I'm gonna be me. I'm gonna stand right here and I'm gonna say my message. And if you like it, surround me. And if you don't, go over there. But it feels like his message has a lot more anger in it. Like, and by the way, it might be the same message, but it's all delivery. Yeah. Like, you guys are all teachers at the end of the day. It's just kind of like, we're in Mr. 19 Keys class compared to me in Mr. Umar class, right? Yeah. Mr. Umar tells the same thing, but his shit comes off like, you know, I don't want to hug a Neanderthal. Like, I'm like, damn, like, okay. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think Umar speaks from a different sector. He speaks from the entirety of it, the black culture.
But Umar thinks he does too, though.
Like, Pan-African is more or less what he likes to talk about.
I think Umar is from a different generation, you know, and I think that's really what it is. Like, we come from different generations, different schools of thought. Being in the West Coast is different than being in the East Coast coming up, right?
Yes.
In life and consciousness, the way that's you speak. I remember when I first came up, the people on the East Coast didn't understand, like, we had our own central hub in the West that we was learning from. I went learning from their teachers. I went emulating what they was doing. I didn't know nothing about that, to be honest.
Yeah.
So when I went, I brung in a completely different style. You feel me? Like, I'm doing it based on me.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it based on y'all. So it was an original way of speaking, but I also speak to the whole diaspora, and I speak from multiple perspectives. I've seen men fail because of them. Not because of the white man, not because of a white woman, not because of none of that. It's because of your mind.
Yeah.
Right? It's something in your mind that's not wired the right way.
Yeah.
You feel me? And so for me, I don't know how to blame nobody else.
Yeah.
You feel me? No matter what happens, I learn that about myself. Something can just wrong. I'm like, all right, well, that's my fault. I got to take that.
It's always my fault first.
It's where I internalize it first, because I know we got to save ourselves.
Yeah.
I think what Dr. Umar does is he speaks from a clinical psychologist as a Pan-Africanist, and he's very intentional in the polarization of the way that he speaks.
Yes.
And I think that that needs to be done.
Yes.
You feel me? So I rock with it and I respect it. But it's just not my way.
Exactly.
You feel me? Because I come from a generation of innovation, of technology, of science, of understanding the way the world operates and focusing on building our own world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I would love to see Dr. Umar collaborate with more young leaders, to be honest. I think that would be something that he could do to increase his platform.
Because he almost is like, so I look at us all like characters in this large, big black ecosystem. I've never seen someone make a joke about what you talk about. Like, I've never seen someone, like, so you'll see like, they'll show a video, like, it was a picture of the New York Knicks, right? And it was all the players, and all of them was with white girls except for one, right? And then the comments was, where's Dr. Umar at when we need him, right? It's like, but they don't make, it's almost like, he's like the funny uncle that you like, when he see you walk in the house, he gonna say something, but your message is very similar, very empowerment, but it's not as like, no one takes it as a joke. That's why I was asking you that.
I think I'm in time and on time. You know, I think who I am and what I represent is very on time for where we are now.
Gotcha.
It represents the advancement of where we're going. And I think I've been doing this for the last like 10, 12 years in front of the people. They recognize the spirit. There's really nothing that I can do that's fake.
What can I
can fake having the knowledge. I can fake collaborating with people. I can fake actually going around the
world.
I can fake building a business. I can fake doing the hardest thing. Because the caring is the sacrifice. You know what I mean? I've turned down sponsors. You feel me? Because they don't align with the brand. That's money.
For sure.
So if I was doing it for money, then I would have took all the money. Right? Like, I'm very intelligent. If I want to build a business that's based on profit, I can do that. I'm doing things the hardest way. So people understand the sacrifice that comes with putting yourself stuff on the front line. So they respect it. And what I'm talking about are issues that are in real time you need to deal with. We're trying to get black men to see themselves as gods again.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that they take operation and they have that confidence and that pride in themselves and that courage to want to rule. Exactly. But we also teaching things in real time. You want to learn technology and AI, you want to learn branding and podcasting, communication and leadership and financial literacy. We can actually teach you step by step.
Yeah.
But what we're about to do now, man, this advancement of the culture is really happening.
For sure.
We got black men out there working out, eating right, you know what I mean? Getting their money right, investing, taking care of their families, getting their spirit spiritual awakening together. Like, we also showed you how to put together podcasts in real time, how to brand movements, right? How to go across the globe and create connections. Like, we showing you this through demonstration.
Exactly.
It really ain't nothing to make fun of.
I think that's probably what it is, because I've seen you out and about. I've never seen Umar out and about, because to even know what the movement is, right? Because it's like, we want to support you, but how?
We supporting? Yeah, well, I would love to add Dr. Umar on the show. He said he would come on, but
I would love to see y'all talk.
See, you know what? They both have their place. 19Keys has a way of delivery that people can understand. Umar also has a way, because I understand Umar, because I came from the same.
But when I'm saying, I was just thinking about.
And you know, when I'm on stage, I speak about the same things just from a different perspective.
That's what I was about to say. I was really asking about, it's like me, right? When I see people in the music business talking about, when I see Paz on music, it's always like, oh, they don't know what they talk. Like, because I'm Draymond Green. I just played the game and now I'm talking. Like, literally, as I'm talking
and
to you.
And we're still playing the game.
I'm in there dealing with a deal. I flew an artist in town.
Yes.
I'm still in it and I still do this.
Right.
So when I see other people talking about how I can make you make millions doing this, I'm like, well, why they ain't making millions doing it themselves?
Yeah.
Like, if you have all the answers, like, I have the answers, but I have a bank account and a business to show it.
Yeah.
And I'm giving the answers rather than having all the answers saying, man.
Well, that's a good point, because I like to speak from experience.
Exactly. That's why I was asking, because I want to talk to Dr. Umar just because I feel like it's going to be a funny conversation.
No, he probably come on your show faster than mine.
You see what I'm trying to say? Because I feel it's going to be funny. I'm like, okay, this is real. This is about us, when sometimes it's about them to his mind. Like, that white boy, that dude mess with that white woman. They're like, I don't care as long as he's happy.
He's very raw. That's why he's needed. He's very raw, and people need that sometimes. Right. You feel me? But also, I look at it, when somebody got one bass cover, I don't need to cover the same bass.
Yep. Mm,
you feel that. Me?
Like, I see him like Jordan and Rodman.
Over here. Yeah,
you see what I'm saying? I see him like Jordan and Rodman.
Yeah, so one feels like a show, even though he's effective.
Exactly.
And other feels like, it's real.
Well, I'm deep in the culture, like, so I might talk to a brother you never heard of. He might be a black unicorn, a corporate guy. I might have dinner with him and explain to him the necessity for him to get on this side of the culture.
For sure.
You feel me?
I love that. Like,
are conversations people don't see behind the scenes. Like, when I say I lead the leaders, I'm really behind the scenes talking to everybody.
That's how I feel. Like,
they calling me. Yeah. You got an issue with so-and-so, y'all gonna be in it? No, let me talk to both of y'all. You know what I mean? Let's get this situated.
Let's insert a man's perspective and make it go away. All right, second to last question. We have this segment called Credit Check, right?
Okay.
I despise when people say give someone their flowers.
Mm, flowers die.
I get my flowers when I die. And I don't want flowers because I can't do nothing with that. I want my credit.
Okay.
So I ask you, people like yourself, to give us 2 to 3 unsung heroes that you want to give some credit to for playing a role in you becoming who you are today.
Oh, man, that's powerful. I got a few people. I got to start with my parents, though. You know what I mean? Specifically my mother, because I speak about my father a lot. But I really realized recently I got most of my strength from my mother, because she had an emotional resilience as I watched her go through so much and not complain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she raised 9 children. She had 11, lost 2. You feel me? And when my pops wasn't there, she made sure we had food on the table. She made sure that we ate. But I have to think about, like, as you get older, you realize how much she was managing, how much stressful that had to be, the days where the food stamps ran out and she didn't know how we was gonna eat. And she figured it out somehow. Like, how stressful that would be as a man, having goddamn 7 children, 5 children, and I'll figure out how I'm gonna feed them.
Yes.
Without no help. So I had to think about, like, damn, mom was really strong as hell.
Yeah.
And that's where I get my don't complain about nothing attitude from.
I love
you
that.
You feel me? Like, I think, like, moms is, and it took me like 30 plus years to figure this out. Like, Moms was where I really drew on a lot of my strength.
I love that.
And my character from. So, yeah, Moms is definitely it. There's a lot of people who played a role in my story.
And the best part for context, he might ask him tomorrow, and he might say a different answer.
Right.
Like, we got to say, because, you know, it's really about unsung people who you just, that is like you want to, like, damn, man, I remember that guy.
Right.
I got a lot of them, too, but.
No, I think I talked about my older brother already, but my brother Blue Pill, you know, when I first came in this game, I never considered myself to be a part of no conscious community. You know, I consider myself to be a part of the solution, you know, and however that comes about is what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. I never wanted to be in anybody's boxes.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I call myself a thought leader, because I understood that our culture didn't have a box for that yet. Mm. You feel me? So let me grow into what I want to grow into, not what you see me as. Mm. So, but when I first came in, he embraced me 100%. And when I asked for a business partner, he was one that was there that was like, yeah, I'm going to take that challenge with you.
For sure.
You feel me? So I've been building with him. And, you know, I consider him to be a peer tour, but a mentor at the same time, and somebody that I can bounce my thoughts off of and build with. So he's been with me on that journey for a long time. And then, of course, I got my brother Steve, my brother Mechie. You know, those are people that, when you got foundation and you got people that's always working with you, it keeps you grounded.
Always.
You feel me? Mechie, I remember telling him, he was working corporate, and I'm like, bro, when I get some money, I'm going to hire you.
Yeah.
You feel me? We go work together.
For sure.
And so when I got enough money and I had the budget, I started paying him what he was worth.
Yeah.
You feel me? And then we've been working together ever since.
I love that.
My brother Steve, he was in jail. I told him, I'm going to get you out. You feel me? He posted his bail. We got him out. Right, he beat his case. He came out. He been rocking with me ever since. I've been knowing him since like elementary school. Are people that keep me grounded as far as that I'm a wit every single day. You feel me? So I think like those are the people that's unsung heroes that's always behind the scenes. And then it's just my family. Mm. You know, the I'm a very family oriented. I love my family. I stay the extra day as well to make sure I spend some time and see them. My sister Andrea, she runs the back end of the Goldwater business. My sister Kalima, she always keep me in a spiritual alignment. You feel me? My younger brothers, Bashir, Yusuf, Samai, Asian Wine, Rahman, Raheem. It's a lot of us. You know, I got to say all the names on
by better. Right. They looking like
don't
this.
Leave nobody out.
Exactly.
You know, but and like I said, it's been a beautiful journey, and you realize you're never doing it by yourself when you really take a second to be grateful for the people that's in your life.
For sure.
You know, so I'm grateful to have really good people in my life, and I really want to put a challenge out there to the world. Like, when you see young men growing, young women growing, reach out to them. Everybody needs a mentor. Everybody needs assistance. No matter how strong they look, everybody needs help.
Yeah. Last question. This is the God Show.
Yeah.
GODS is an acronym for goats and underdogs.
Okay, yeah.
We ask people like yourself, do you consider yourself a goat or an underdog? If you are an underdog, what do you personally want to accomplish for you to say, I am the goat or a goat?
That's a good question. I like the way that you frame that. Contextually, you know, I would say I definitely came in this game as an underdog, because these are not things that people want to accept. Like, I forced change.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, the environment doesn't just automatically acclimate towards me. Like, no, I'm going to change the environment. I'm going to go in rooms I'm not supposed to be. I'm going to go in places you didn't think you was going to see me in. You feel me? But now that I'm here, I got the knowledge. I got the connect. It's too late. You can't hold me back. You feel me? So I feel like I was an underdog when I created my platform, when I created my podcast, when I created my businesses. Always. But now we at this forefront where, you know, even with coming off the heels of InvestFest, we're going to be doing High Level World, you feel me? And we're building out this High Level Club. Like, I want to be part of when you point in history and you say, he took us over the finish line.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Mm. He finished some of the work that they began.
I love that.
You feel me? And it finally happened.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be that person that take us over that finish line. It stopped becoming concepts. It stopped becoming theories. And it became a reality.
Mm.
He did this. He did this. He did this. And when you look at the economy of 19 Keys, the influential economy, the spiritual economy, the financial economy, you're going to see a pie chart of effect that you didn't even know I was doing.
That's fire. Well, I'm going to tell you something, brother. We get a lot of people submissions now, like, do you want this person? And I don't want to talk to someone
who I don't consider a GOAT at what they do.
Yes, sir.
So, brother, you are a GOAT.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
We'll right. clap for that. I don't want to talk to somebody unless I respect that status because it's funny because when we was talking, it was like, what kind of show are we going to do? Because we shoot three different shows. And they was like, Artist Spotlight, he's an artist. And I was like, no,
God show.
He's bigger than that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't want to limit him to a studio conversation.
Yeah.
We could talk about the music, but he's a GOAT. You literally are a black man that understands what to do. And literally you can take that yourself, build yourself, you and yours, or Jay-Z has a famous line. He said, less is more, right? And by the way, that's a smart perspective from a businessman.
Yeah.
But our perspective is, no, we need to show our people because my kids gonna grow up with those people. And I don't, you know what I mean? So you are a GOAT, bro. Thank like you really out here doing work. And by the way, at InvestFest, nobody's line was longer than yours.
Yes, sir.
His line is that. Like, it was like, you see everybody else trying to get people in, then you see a long line.
I saw the line. Who's that? Know what it was
for. That's 19. I'm like, this man got it. Like, he got it down. So you are a GOAT, my brother.
I appreciate that, brother.
So shout out to our sponsors. Shout out to Tote & Carry. Shout out to Two Loss Distribution. Shout out to Yoko Vodka. And shout out to Lareco. If you need the greatest scents, go to Lareco.com. And shout out to you guys for watching this. And let's give it up for 19 Keys.
Thank you for having me.
This brother, follow him, support him, because if we don't support each other, who does? Facts. This is The God Show. We are out.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.